Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, today truly is a miraculous day on this island, especially the northern part of the island, because the vaccine is being rolled out from 8 a.m. this morning in the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. That a name that is so resonant across the island, mainly during the Troubles, because it was the main hospital. It's at the bottom of the Falls Road there in the Shankill. It's the main hospital that took casualties from the Troubles. Horrific, horrific days that are long gone. But we've had a difficult year. But today, I think a lot of people who've had experience of that difficult year are saying it's a great day. Thomas Gray. Thomas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
And thanks for making it. How do you describe today?
Brilliant. It's a shine of light. I was just out walking this morning when I was speaking to your researcher, and I was visiting my mom's grave, and you know the sun came out and it was shining, and I said, hopefully this is the end of it. I know we can't get too excited yet, and we can't go back to normal. But brilliant.
And you're visiting your mother's grave. And the last time we spoke was, I think your mother had just passed away. I think it was a day later. She died in March.
Yeah, that's right. She died on the 15th of March, Joe, in the nursing home from COVID. Your interview was brilliant. And it brought so much help and compassion to the amount of people that come up to me afterwards.
Yeah.
And she would just sadly miss Joe. I visit her every day.
Do you?
Yes, I only live directly across from the graveyard, so okay. I take my 5K walk there.
Okay.
And I go and visit her and say hi. And today I visited her and brought her some flowers and told her the good news.
And it was a lovely sunrise and a lovely day as we approach midwinter's day. We're seeing less sunlight in the morning, but in truth the world is seeing more sunlight because of the rollout of this vaccine. Your mother Patricia was 88, Thomas.
That's correct.
She was in. Just tell me, how did you? Because I think I spoke to you between her death and the funeral. How did the funeral go?
Well, basically, she died on the 15th. We never got to see her because the nursing home closed down and they didn't let anybody visit. So when she did pass away, we got a phone call. Mm-hmm. We never got to see her. She was literally taken from the nursing home to the funeral parlour, which, again, we never see her again. And brought to the grave on a Saturday morning, and she had to be buried before 12 o'clock in Glasnevin. And there's just 10 people at the grave.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen my sister once and my brother once since the whole thing, because we all had to depart our ways and we couldn't hug. And that's the hardest part, Joe.
Yeah.
I had to go and seek therapy to go and deal with that bit. And it came out of a program that Ryan Turbidy had on about Enda Kenny and to talk to somebody. So I called that phone number to say, you know, deal with it. Still raw, Joe. Still raw.
I know, I understand, Thomas. That was the campaign Enda Kenny launched for the Irish Hospice Breed Foundation, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the palliative Breed care.
Yeah,
Breed.
And it was brilliant.
And Thomas, what about other aspects of your life? You mentioned your siblings, you can't see them, you can't hug them because we've been in lockdown effectively since March, since the day your mother died last March. What about your job, your family? How's the year been?
Well, it's been a bad year, Joe. My brother had a heart attack a couple of weeks ago. No doubt brought on by stress. He's a taxi driver, and that was a wake-up call. my two kids in Australia, Laurie and Keith, they'd love to come home, but they can't.
Yeah.
Because of it. And the job situation, Joe, I was let go from Irish Ferries, and please God, now I'll be going back on the 21st with a bit of luck to do a bit of work.
Because
one's traveling.
The number, exactly. Then ferries, people forget no that as traveling. Well. There are ferries that are.
Yeah, I did work through most of it, and they just laid us off because we're only temporary workers. But it's been horrific, and this vaccine is shining the light. And I was listening and watching the news today about it, and it's wonderful. It's great in Northern Ireland, you know, have rolled it out.
So yeah.
I just hope they do it right, Joe.
I was reading the head of the MRHA in the UK yesterday. She had a piece in the London Times, and she addressed specifically people saying, "Oh, you're after getting it through very quick. You're after letting it through," and she went through the. They were planning for this, as I presume everyone was, but she said she's been planning for this for months. They'd set up independent teams outside the organization of scientists, so that they would be checked and counter-checked. So the rush. Or the political or the popular, the human rush for a vaccine wouldn't overwhelm the scientific proof. And she was adamant that this vaccine, obviously she is because she's passed it, she's adamant that this vaccine is as it says it is. The Pfizer one is 95% effective, so the sooner the better we get our supplies here. I presume you'll be at top of the queue, Thomas. I don't know whether you are age wise in terms of.
I'm 57, Joe. I was pretty still young enough, but yes. Listen, I'll do it live on air for you, Joe. If you want me to.
We all would. It's the first group to get it here in the Republic will be adults age over 65 who are residents of long term care facilities. And the staff, residents and staff on the site. The next group will be frontline healthcare workers in direct patient contact roles or who risk exposure to bodily fluids or aerosols. So that's frontline healthcare workers. Next, it's you're still not in yet, Thomas, but I suspect this might move quicker than we think even at this stage. The next group is those aged 70 and older, and then it's 70 to 74, it's 85 and older, 80 to 84, 75, it's in four tranches going down to 70. Next is all other healthcare workers who are not in direct patient contact, but they provide essential health services. Next is age 65 to 69, with medical conditions, and then it moves down. Now, I think teachers might be disappointed or whatever that they're not. I'm trying to find out where they are in the in the system. Then it's 55 to 64 based on risk of hospitalisation, and then it's those in occupations of important to the functioning of society. Third level entertainment, goods producing industries. But I presume when the key workers in essential jobs, I suspect that's where the teachers are, primary and second level teachers. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. They're fifth in line, though. I think the line might move quicker than we hope. Hopefully it will. What are you longing for now? I know Thomas the grief about your mum, but what are you longing from now when the vaccine kicks in and hopefully this will be behind us in 2021?
Well, to see my children abroad, and if they can come to me, or I go out and see them, and be able to have a normal service from my mother, because we haven't been able to do anything since that dreadful day.
Have you got that in your head, Thomas, that you would have a ceremony on our anniversary, or?
Yes, my dad died, I told you, in 63 in September. And when we were having the so-called funeral, we said, oh, we'll celebrate her passing then. And then, obviously, his restrictions were still there. We couldn't do it. So, her next will be her birthday in March. next year, and that's what we're looking at. But there's not, Joe, I just say to people, if they're listening, I know we're all hoping this vaccination, but just to keep at it.
Yeah.
Keep doing the right thing, because I think people might think that you get a jab and you're safe.
Yeah.
You know, I think about it every day, and all the people that have died, have died of this, and in nursing homes and general people, to just hang in there a little bit longer. Yeah. And I hope that I'll get to see my children.
You will, Thomas. And we're so close to the summit. That's the thing. It'll be a shame. We've climbed so hard and so long and been through some awful ridges and crevices and challenges. And now we can see the top of Mount Everest. So I see in the paper this morning, this is serendipity, the Chinese and the Nepalese government have discovered that Mount Everest is now 4 metres higher than it was. But anyway, but the main thing is that we can see the tip of Mount Everest. We're within shooting distance to it. So let's work on that. Thomas, great. Thanks indeed, Thomas. And kind regards to you and your family, and hello to your family in Australia as well. That's Thomas Gray, who lost his dear mother. And as you say, he travels up there every single day to the graveyard, which is not too far from him. But Patricia died on March the 15th last. Thanks indeed, Thomas Gray. Noel Donnellan, you will remember, well, maybe your voice will be different today, Noel, because when you contacted us in September, the 16th of September, in that remarkable phone call from your hospital bed in Limerick, and you were pleading with people to try and stick with all the wash your hands and the distance that this illness is, which you were suffering through at the time, was so, so awful. How do you feel today, Noel?
How are you, Joe?
Good.
Yeah, feeling a hell of a lot better.
Great.
To be honest with you, not 100% there yet, but physically feeling better, you know.
Yeah. And the vaccine?
There's only one answer. It's a good thing for everyone, for life in general. Joe, it has to happen. You know, when I came out of hospital, you know, it did change me in a way that you kind of look at things in a different perspective. And I had a bit of time on my hands, and you got to see different debates on the television and without politicians. There's been some great debates with professors of medicine and economic professors as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, society has to return to some sort of normality.
Yeah.
And because it's having a huge effect on society, like especially I think the two age groups would be the elderly and, we'll say, adolescent, young adults, you know, who are coming into their that stage in their lives where they're seeking a partner, and also then the elderly, where they would have been in contact with their friends or any bit of exercise that they would have done, that it was cut off for them. So that this vaccine is a lifesaver, not just for the sickness, but for so many other different aspects of life, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you were so vivid, Noel, which I think is what checked people and caught people and reinvigorated a lot of people in terms of being vigilant. You were so vivid about the position you were in, literally the position you were in, and praying and curling up in A&E, and you thought it was all over, and the time then you were in isolation. But Noel, what was it like then when you came out of isolation, when you went home?
Well, that was a very emotional day, Joe, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll never forget the day I went into A&E. You know, like, anyone who knows me, like, you know, I'm an athletic, tall bloke, played middle of the park or in centre lines of defence most of my life, you know, played all hurling football. So I was never sick. and it hit me big time. Like, it took me down to Chinatown basically and gave me a good beating around the place, you know. Mm. And I never thought that anything like this would ever happen, you know, having to go into leave my home in an ambulance, like, yeah. That's
I think the line might go. I'll see the lines going on my screen. I'll come back to Noel in a sec. Again, one of the most vivid images, I think you'll be seeing it in a lot of newspapers at the end of the year, is a photograph that was sent in to us around April, the beginning of April this year. It was sent in by Pádraig Bourne, and it was him looking through the window. I think it was St. Francis Hospice. He was on a chair looking through the window, and what he described the passing of his brother. Pádraig, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And it was Francis. Just remind people of that incredible image.
It was St. Luke's Hospital in Edgar, Joe.
Okay.
Luke's Hospital in Edgar. So, right again, we got the call to go down and this time. And
okay, the line isn't helping us here, Pádraig. We'll try and get the two lines gone in one fell swoop, but this happens. Pádraig, I know Pádraig, we'll get him back in a sec, but you know the image. I think you will know the image because it was on the front page of a lot of newspapers, and it won Headline of the Year award in terms of it was the front page of the Irish Daily Mirror the next day, and Pádraig through Liveline gave them the photograph, and the headline was "The Parting Glass." It was Pádraig with his hands up trying to look through a glass window, and it was him saying goodbye to his brother who had died an hour previously. And I think it was a photograph I saw at one stage in the New York Times to epitomise the longing and the loss and the upset and the grief and the separation that this awful virus brought to the world. I want to go, and I'm very grateful that he's been able to talk to us. He has a direct connection with this programme through one of our producers, Fergus, Dr. Jonathan Leung. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
What was today like, Jonathan? You were one of the first doctors who administered the vaccine this morning.
Yeah, it's an exciting day, a historic day, I would say. Very happy to be involved and happy to bring this hopefully society-changing vaccine to my community.
And you're in the Royal Surrey County Hospital in Guildford. And what was the procedure today, Jonathan? Like, even the infrastructure, is it inside a hospital, outside a hospital? Do I queue? Is everyone in an individual? Just if you could, for a second, give us a description of the layout and how things happen.
Sure. So, I mean, organisation has been huge in order to bring this project to fruition and to make it safe and socially distanced for this mm-hmm. group of patients who we know are highly clinically vulnerable. So patients in the over 80s category were contacted, these are patients who are already going to come to the hospital for some other reason.
Okay.
And it was an opportunity to then say, whilst you're here, can we give you the first of two doses of the COVID vaccine? And so it's in a separate area of the hospital with a waiting area. You then it's quick, so there's no sort of hanging around really, because we know that
Great.
We need to keep patient flow as seamless as possible. Patients move to a clinical assessor, so a prescriber who has a brief clinical assessment to make sure people are suitable, because there are contraindications, there are reasons why people can't have this vaccine.
Okay,
and they then. If it's prescribable, they then move to an immunizer. So people who are trained with immunization or experienced are doing that to give the vaccine, and then to follow it up from there to arrange a second vaccine in 3 to 4 weeks' time.
Okay, so it is a jab to the upper arm.
It's a jab to the upper arm into the deltoid muscle. We know it will cause a bit of pain. I think the guidance that have been released is that the most common side effect is pain in the arm. But that's fairly typical for all vaccines.
And are there many contraindications, Jonathan, at this stage?
Well, the main one to talk about, I suppose, is pregnancy. Now, it's difficult for... I'm not a researcher, I should say, but I know that it's difficult to get clinical trials on pregnant people. And so there's no evidence to say that the vaccine adversely affects pregnant women, but we just know that there have been no trials done. So I think erring on the side of caution, the body that governs this, the vaccinations, immunizations, has decided not to give it to you if you're pregnant, not to give it to you if you're breastfeeding. And the advice is that you don't get pregnant for 2 months after having received the second dose.
Okay. And I know that's general scientific procedures, but also I presume, Jonathan, what changed the whole world, in terms of testing of medicines, etc., was the thalidomide scandal of the 60s, which was specifically prescribed for pregnant women. But that's it's great that one, that is so vigilant, and two, I understand that issue, that how do you trial something on, how do you persuade, it's extraordinarily difficult, persuade pregnant women to participate in a trial. It's almost, would be understandably, almost impossible. But let's hope they can find out through other ways the effect that it have. And did anyone say no, Jonathan?
No, nobody said no. There were a couple of reasons why we couldn't give the vaccine today, unfortunately, and those are just simple kind of logistical areas. You shouldn't really have your flu vaccine within the previous 7 days, and there was a couple of patients who had that, and so that was fine. There was preparations for that, and those patients will be followed up in the community. And then, you know, the general mood and the attitude from all patients was really positive. It was really nice to see. One of the elderly patients said to me, I said, well, do you have any questions about going to the vaccine? And she said, my only wish is that you could have it instead of me, because I think you need it more than I do. Okay. And so that's sort of a nice heartwarming moment, because we're trying to protect these people. And when they say that they're concerned about you, that really reinforces and motivates you to keep going.
And Jonathan, as a doctor, where are you on the list in the UK?
Right at the bottom. No, I think so as healthcare workers, we're second on the list. I'll definitely make sure that my team are vaccinated first. And we want to make sure that the people who clinically are vulnerable get it and are protected. But obviously healthcare workers are in contact with these clinically vulnerable people, and I think that's the rationale to vaccinate the healthcare workers.
Totally understandable. And Jonathan, what we're hearing a lot about storage and minus 70, and how did that work out?
So the vaccine is stored at minus 70, but once it's received by the vaccination centres, it can be stored safely for up to 5 days at 2 to 8 degrees. So that's a normal fridge temperature.
Great.
You see that we have as a delivery service is that the minimum batch dose is 975 vaccines. So you must deliver 975 vaccines within 5 days.
Okay.
And we don't want wastage. We want people if people want it, we want them to be able to have it. So we're encouraging patients to make sure that they turn up, make sure that they know that they're eligible for the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of information out there, and we're trying to consent people through a sort of a central process, so they have some degree of understanding even before they arrive and have a more formal clinical assessment.
So once you open a batch, which is 975, you've got to go through them all within 5 days. You've got to use up that batch.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And what about, how do I prove that I had the, I know I have to come back, but how do I prove that I had the vaccine, Jonathan? Is there a vaccine passport or?
No, so I sort of understand what you're getting at from maybe a society perspective, but from the medical perspective, there's robust systems in place to clinically record to your medical record whether you've had the vaccine. And that's really fairly standard for any sort of vaccine you would get that gets recorded into your clinical notes. But, you know, we're telling patients, just because you've had the vaccine today, you're not immunized. You need the second dose, and you need to wait a week afterwards before you're considered immunized. But at that point, you still have to socially distance. You still have to wear the face mask. Nothing changes at this juncture for anyone.
And Jonathan, how did you fare during the 9 months on your team?
Well, I'm sure there was people a lot worse off than what I was. I was fortunate that I was still able to go to work. Fortunate I was still able to look after the patients in my community. There's no doubt that the NHS in the UK has pulled together in an unbelievable manner that we didn't think was possible. projects that we planned for 4 years were accelerated within 4 to 5 weeks. And the breakdown of perceived barriers between primary and secondary care, so between GPs and the hospital, those things have evaporated. And we're really collaborating, working together as a team that was not envisionable before this pandemic. So I got to say, I've been a doctor for 10 years, but I've never been more proud than in the last year.
Wow. And I think your observation there, Jonathan, about so many barriers which were there in every profession, be it teaching or hospitals or our own business here or our building or whatever, our communications, and so many barriers that people thought were insurmountable suddenly crumbled in the face of the crisis. And thank God a lot of them are gone. Thank God a lot of them are gone, because it happened here in Ireland as well, especially around, Jonathan, the health service here in Ireland, that differences and barriers, a lot of them evaporated. I think your mother is Irish, Jonathan. How did your extended family, how did your extended family fare?
Just the good half is Irish, yeah. So it was tough. It was tough on a personal level. It was tough for mum and dad because, you know, they want to see the kids. They want to see the grandkids. I guess more so than anybody else, I was acutely aware that couldn't happen.
And yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to tell your mum, we're not coming over. You can't come over. And that's why what I sort of said to her today, she said, you know, is it the end? I said, no, mum, it's not the end. Today's not a day for celebration, not yet, but today is hopefully the start of the end.
Okay.
And I look forward to fast forward 6 months when hopefully we'll get a Christmas together, we'll get birthdays together, we'll get all those family occasions that I know we're all missing.
Okay. Well, Jonathan, you stay safe. Thank you to you and your team. Thank you so much for your service continuing. And kind regards to you and your extended group of colleagues, and indeed your extended family. That's
thanks a lot, Joe. Make sure you say hi to that producer for me.
Yeah, his name is Fergus, and he called you. He said, "I said, will we play a song for John?" And he said, "Yeah, play My Perfect Cousin."
I
don't know who's playing.
You can play it back to him as well.
Exactly. Jonathan, really appreciate that. Sorry for taking away from your important work, but really appreciate that insight into what's happening in the UK today. 51551 Washant.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
As I said, we're talking about V-Day, Vaccine Day, on this December the 8th, 2020. Noel Donnellan, sorry, Noel, the line ran away with us there, unfortunately.
No worries, Joe.
You were talking about being in the hospital. Just you're returning home from your what you thought at one stage was your deathbed. I don't want to be too dramatic, from your description you gave us back in September. What was it like returning home? Now, I know you weren't 100% by a long shot, but you did go back home, and obviously you went back home after COVID, after being in the hospital with COVID, which meant nobody could see you. So what was that like, to return home?
It was great, Joe. You know, it was an emotional day, like, you know, and just to see, you know, all my wife and two boys, you really appreciate what's important in life.
And where did they think their daddy had been?
They thought I was working, you know.
Wow.
We're working again, you know. We, like, they're young, like, so we had to protect them, you know.
Okay.
You know.
So they thought you were, because you did some. I'm recalling now, weren't you? Aren't you a decorative artist?
That's right, Joe. Yeah. So we were in London working, and we had finished a project and had come home, and I was only home a couple of days, and ended up getting sick. I think it was home 2 or 3 days, and then I was gone straight to the hospital. So we couldn't let him that morning when I left in the ambulance. You know, they couldn't see their dad. We didn't want to let them see their daddy going into an ambulance, basically. You know what I mean? So we just protected him from that. Yeah. And
but they must have known, Noel, in your reaction, that for you.
Yeah. Well, look, my oldest boy, like, you know, when I pulled in the yard at home and he ran out, and he just didn't, you know, it's like one of those videos you see, you know, the soldiers coming home, and the moment the dad comes out of the arrivals hall or wherever it is, and their kid runs up, and you know what I mean? It was exactly that, you know. And, you know, you get emotional, and, you know, your eldest boy's looking at you and saying, "Why are you crying, Daddy?" And you're just, "Well, I'm happy. Are you happy?" And I said, "I'm happy," you know. So, you know, it's just, you have this emotion, and it's great to hold him and everything there like that, but it's for the wrong reason, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just hope that I never have to go through that, or anyone else, you know, for that matter, you know, because of this virus. You know, it's a new thing in our world.
Yeah.
And the sooner the world gets vaccinated, the better.
Yeah.
On all fronts, you know.
And Noel, how are you today? How are you now?
I'm grand, Joe. I'm back in the swimming pool, which is great.
Great, yeah.
And I really find exercise is yeah. huge. I do a bit of memory loss, and my focus is not as sharp as it used to be. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So there's issues there. Like, I had my bloodstone and all that kind of thing with the doctor, and they all came back clear. A couple of more scans to get done, but. They're calling it the kind of long COVID, so to speak. Like, my sleep was, I couldn't get to sleep after I got the COVID, and eventually my sleep did return, thanks be to God. So but like, physically I'm feeling fine. I suppose if I can get those other bits sorted out, I'll feel 100%. It's just, I suppose, it's a matter of time, you know what I mean? And I suppose the medical people, because this is so new, they're still discovering and they're still doing studies on that, you know? So hopefully that, you know, this vaccine, it's a new light for everyone. I know it's a big day that it's been administered, but as the doctor previously said, you know, we have to wait until the whole of society gets on board with it, you know, and does it, so we can return to a normal society, you know.
And we have to be vigilant, as you say. We have to be. Noel, when do you remind me now? You do gilt-edged work, don't you? Is that what you do? What, I know you're a decorative artist.
Yeah, so myself and my business partner Paolo, we've a company called Pigmenti, and we do like sculpture work on walls and gold leaf and painted decoration, and we travel around and we decorate interiors for different clients, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
what an incredible craft and skill. And part of, like, a lot of things we take for granted when we visit museums and galleries, but all that, and fine houses if we're lucky enough, but that rich tapestry of life, that countless millions and billions of people who make our lives worth living, we've been reminded of that so strongly, and stories we've never hear, because this pandemic has drilled down so much into our society. But I hope you are, thankfully you're back with your family, Noel, and I hope you are back working again soon, if that's your choice and ambition. But keep the faith, Noel. I suspect there's a little bit of worry there still. Is there in you? I know there's hope, and what you've come through. Another way of putting it is, what's your mood?
My mood is good, Joe. I suppose it's like anything. You know, if you break your arm and you're in a cast, you're like, okay, it's working fine, but can I go out and can I play that match? Do you know what I mean? Are you match fit? You know, that kind of way.
Yeah, okay, good so point. Good way.
It's you know, when I did come out of hospital and I was recovering, I wanted to find my measure, if you know what I mean, like how physically fit I was able. And I remember I was out in the garden working with my dad, and I remember I was cutting a branch, and I had to stop. Normally I could keep going, like, you know, like the clappers, you know, but I had to stop after about 15, 20 seconds. But now, you know, am I back 100%? I wouldn't say 100, but you could say 90, 95%. Do you know what
brilliant,
I mean?
Brilliant, brilliant.
So, look, there is light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, like the vaccine is there, but the important thing is, like, keep wearing your mask and washing, you know, as you say every time, wash your hands. Yeah, you can't be careful enough about it, you know?
No, thanks so much. It's so good to hear from you and your family and indeed your work colleague as well. I wish you all well for 2021. And it's been a difficult year. And I'm very conscious of the over 2,000 people that have died in this republic from this awful virus. Noel Donlan, Noel Guramina Mahaka, thanks a million, Noel, and stay safe.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.